Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Rich Eisen.
He is the baddest man in the NFL.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The Tua Tagovailoa era begins.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And the Dodgers advance to the World Series for the third time in the past 4 years.
Today's guest, host of the Dan Patrick Show, Dan Patrick. Baseball Hall of Famer John Smoltz. San Francisco 49ers tight end George Kittle. Tennessee Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We are live on the air from Los Angeles, California. Thrilled that you are with us here on this very busy Monday. What a wild sports weekend that we just saw, from college football and then professional football. The World Series is set. It is, in fact, the Rays on whom the Astros forced a seventh game versus the Dodgers, who forced a seventh game against the Atlanta Braves and came back once again. Came back down 2-0, came back down 3-1, came back in Game 7. The World Series is now set between the Dodgers and Rays, which means the winner of the NBA championship, the city that won the NHL championship, will meet together and add a World Series champion to that mix and make for a huge football season potentially for either Tampa or maybe Los Angeles all set up. So we'll talk about the World Series with our friend John Smoltz when he calls into the program. And then we've got ourselves a great football set up here on this show as well. George Kittle, Ryan Tannehill of the 49ers, who really gave it to the Rams last night on Sunday Night Football on our friends at NBC. Ryan Tannehill will be on the show. The Tennessee Titans came back against the Houston Texans. And Dan Patrick, I know we're taking over on this NBC Sports on Peacock channel directly from Dan Patrick. We follow him on this streaming network as well as SiriusXM Channel 211. DP is going to be first up on this show in about 18 minutes' time. Chris Brockman, Mike Del Tufo,
hey,
good
Rich,
to see
you
at your posts over there.
Hey, bud, what's happening?
For you, sir, I am sorry that you are not dressed in Cam Newton Victory Monday clothes. Cam did return. The Patriots lost to the Denver Broncos. And my Jets are now 0-6 in that pole position for Trevor Lawrence, who I think in one game this past weekend
he was amazing.
Put up more touchdowns than the Jets have scored offensively all season long.
No way, really?
Jets have 6 offensive touchdowns.
Oh, my gosh.
He scored 73 points. Well, I mean, he didn't. But, yeah. So there's that. There's many different ways to go on this conversation with the NFL. But let's start with the marquee event of yesterday, and that being the Battle of the Bays, which in my research for NFL Game Day Morning, I looked up the first time they ever played each other.
Okay.
And it was year 2 of Tampa, still in search of its first ever NFL win. As you know, they went winless in 1976. They were 0-5 entering that game. And against the 1-4 Green Bay Packers, Gary Huff was the quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, whose only Hall of Famer that day was Leroy Selman. And the Packers were quarterbacked by Lynn Dickey.
Wow.
And their only Hall of Famer was their coach, Bart Starr. So that game received a considerable upgrade at the quarterback position. It took 43 years. Tom Brady was 2 months old when the first Battle of the Bays took place. And it sure looked like yesterday, my prediction, along with Mooch's and Kurtz on Game Day Morning, that Green Bay was going to win that football game, looked really good.
I was with you on that one.
Looked really good because Green Bay was having its way offensively, with them moving down the field for a touchdown that eventually went to Aaron Jones because Rodgers was ruled down at the half-inch yard line. Troy Aikman was basically saying, if the Buccaneers could hold this drive to just 3 points, the momentum would be going in their direction. And Rodgers scored a touchdown and then got the ball back. And it looked like this was Green Bay's day. They'd be 5-0, and then The third pick six of Aaron Rodgers' career, just the third pick six of his career, turned the whole damn day around. Because Rodgers followed up that pick six, his first in one since 2017, when he threw one against the Cincinnati Bengals in a week three game that they eventually won in overtime. If you remember, they were struggling in the beginning of the season, and then Rodgers eventually broke his collarbone.
Oh, right.
And that was a very long season for Green Bay. They won that game because against the Cincinnati Bengals. 2017 was also the last time that Rodgers threw interceptions on back-to-back possessions. In the game where Rodgers returned from his collarbone, he did that against Carolina. They lost, and then he did not start the rest of the season. That was the end of that. And Brady took that momentum and jammed it down the Green Bay Packers' throat. Now then, I sensed it. I know we went back and forth on the subject, Christopher, here on this program, that Gronk was beginning to show signs of Gronkness. Brady and Gronk have now hooked up for a touchdown. First time that's happened since the Miami Miracle game of 2018. Interestingly enough, the last win for our final hour guest is a Miami Dolphins quarterback. Gronk's looking good. Godwin came back. Ronald Jones has had three straight games of significant production.
He looked great.
No Leonard Fournette, and they're still looking like that. 38 unanswered points. Part of the reason why I chose Green Bay over Tampa Bay yesterday is because we had yet to see this offense with Brady at the controls, fully healthy and also fully on tilt. Had yet to see that. We saw it yesterday. This is why that performance yesterday is why I chose Tampa to win it all. I do believe our first guest in 13 minutes time, Dan Patrick, also chose Tampa to win it all. That's the performance we envisioned for this team, which is Tom Brady at the controls, the offense being difficult to stop because there's too many weapons at Brady's disposal, him being comfortable not just with his new weapons, but with his OG weapon, Rob G, and this defense that Todd Bowles was cooking up, creating too much pressure, too many problems for the opponent. And that defense did it yesterday against Aaron Rodgers, the hottest quarterback and offense in the league. 38 points per game is how much they had averaged through their first four games without a loss. That's how many points they scored unanswered, defense, offense together. Also, a long field goal, special teams working, all three phases. Tampa needs to take that, bottle it and uncork it every week the rest of the year, even during their bye week, just to see how it still has that same taste and aroma and freshness. That's the performance we, in those who chose Tampa preseason, that's the performance we envisioned. That's the performance that can win it all. That's the performance that can maybe bottle up Russell Wilson if need be. That's the performance that can take down virtually anybody in the NFL if they can give the same amount of trouble to everyone else's MVP quarterback that they gave to Aaron Rodgers. Devontae Adams was back. Can't even use that as a, well, who do you have? Can't even go there because the, well, who did he have didn't matter against the first four opponents for Green Bay. That's for sure. That's the stuff that can put that team back in that stadium and hoist the Lombardi Trophy in February. Obviously, lots to go between then and now. And this is not an overreaction. This is exactly what I thought Tampa could be. It took 6 weeks. We'll see if they can do it again. Next up is Vegas on Sunday night. As Al was frequently letting everybody know, they're going to let it ride.
Buck's schedule is tasty coming up.
Al's going to take the odds on the pass line and hopefully roll a yo on the come out. Knowing Al. So that's a tasty treat. That's a tasty treat. And you can say, well, the Raiders coming off a bye. So is Green Bay. That was a hell of a performance because Green Bay came out and hit him in the mouth. Hit him in the mouth.
Yeah. Didn't see that coming.
And they rebounded. Also, and we'll talk about it with George Kittle, has there been more of a maligned quarterback in the NFL than Jimmy G? I guess maybe you'd have to go, you know, with Cousins in Minnesota. You'd have to go in terms of how is this guy getting paid that much money performing like this? Even though he went to the Super Bowl last year, he still missed Emmanuel Sanders. He keeps missing throws. He looked terrible against the Miami Dolphins. Every single time you think he's out, he pulls the 49ers back in, to use the Godfather 3 phrase. That was a nice one last night.
That was nice.
Debo coming downhill. He scored the first touchdown. He had a nice first drive. He scored the eventual game sealer. Well, he didn't score it. He gave you the eventual game sealer on a first down. That wrapped it up. George Kittle had a touchdown and 100 yards receiving. Ayuk scored. That's the stuff, too, from San Francisco, who is still missing Richard Sherman, as we know, also two guys on their defensive line, including a possible MVP candidate in Nick Bosa for the rest of the year. But that's what San Francisco needs to look like in order to get back to the Super Bowl. They need to be efficient on offense, not turn the ball over on offense, play stout defense when it needs to happen. Keep Cooper Kupp off the board, as well as dropping balls that he rarely drops. Have Jared Goff look inefficient. Darrell Henderson had a nice night on the ground, but it took too long for LA to establish that run to lead to the play action that their offense uses to crush so many people. George Kittle, our guest in hour number two after John Smoltz, most 100-yard games by a tight end since 1970. That's 10 now. Since 1950, pardon me. That's 10 now for George. And that's the stuff that San Francisco needs to do. I think Chris Collinsworth mentioned it too. It's what we talked about last year. They are so physical. Everybody seems to just be coming downhill at you, from Mostert to Kittle to Debo.
Yeah, violent.
They are just, they're a handful. Everybody that comes at you is a handful. And if Garoppolo can pull the trigger efficiently without mistakes, and Shanahan's dialing it up.
Jimmy G looked good last night.
He did. He did. And we don't even have to go. You didn't go high register.
I didn't
go either.
He looked good. They're doing a lot on the broadcast focusing on that ankle.
And right.
How it was taped, how he was pushing off, and didn't seem to slow him down.
Yeah, and even Collinsworth pointed out in the red zone where a play call had Jimmy G rolling to his right, attempting to throw a score, and he almost threw a pick six, saying that that was a rare misfire play call from Kyle Shanahan. And Kurt Warner came up with an interesting point in Game Day Morning yesterday.
Is it his made-up stat?
It's not. Well, when you say that, makes you seem like it is something that does not require attention. But yes, he made up the statistic called game-changing plays, GCP. It's a game-changing show for that yesterday. We hammered it home. Even got its own hashtag by the end of the day. But his point yesterday was that when you've got a great play caller like Shanahan, you think the first option is going to work every time.
Right.
That when you play action back to the defense, turn back around, and find your first read, that's going to be open more often than not, because your guys dialed it up appropriately. And thus, when that first option is not as open as you expect it to be, you don't have much of a plan B when you're a young quarterback.
Makes sense.
Also try to force it into plan A, and he thinks that that's what Jimmy G is still dealing with, because he still hasn't had, if you think about it,
That many games under his belt.
Yeah. And then there's the Tennessee Titans, Once again, I come on the air here and say, just when you think they're not as good as they should be, or you don't think that, or they're just when you think they're better than you thought they could be. This team, the Tennessee Titans, may lead the league, and people thinking, yeah, well,
it's the Titans.
They might lead the league in, yeah, but
it's Ryan Tannehill.
They might lead the league in, but there's also Kansas City.
Yeah. This offense isn't as good.
You know, I mean, I didn't draft the guy that high. I mean, they might lead the league in waiver wire pickups.
Yeah, maybe.
In your fantasy league. Maybe. They may lead the league in all of the yeah, buts and the come on, really?
This team?
And then Derrick Henry hits you in the mouth and reminds you, yeah, this team. Who in our day, Chris, rips off more 90-yard-plus runs for touchdowns?
I mean,
where he goes out the gate and defenders are like, oh.
You got to go back
you could fill, you could
30 years to Bo Jackson.
And then Dorsett before that, maybe? I mean, who runs out the gate with more ferocity and then takes off and then takes off and then separates? I've never seen anybody quite like it. He's such a major load and handful, and he can catch out of the backfield, too. He's a matchup problem. Derrick Henry had one more total yard of offense yesterday than the entire New York Jets in a four-quarter loss in Miami. Derrick Henry had 264 total yards yesterday running, receiving. Jets had 263 running, receiving.
Quick math, carry the one.
He is. Now, I know it's a quarterback-centric league, and Tannehill has had an incredible mastery of this offense. Knows when to take off, knows when to hand it off, knows when to throw, knows who is open. He is as comfortable in an offense that suits him as any quarterback in the league, and they're undefeated, which means that quarterback should be in the conversation of MVP. But why not the running back? Why not the running back? When Derrick Henry went out and a fella named McNichols came in, I was like, who's this person?
With all due respect, I'm
paid to know this stuff. I'll be honest. I shoot you straight here. Who is this guy? Because Derrick Henry gets every damn important touch for this team. Let's see what this team would look like without him. That's obviously, you know, another metric about how a team would succeed without their best player.
Rich, Jeremy McNichols is 5'9".
Thank you.
He's 24 years old. You may remember him as Boise State's running back.
Thank you.
From Long Beach, California.
Well, I'll tell you what. Derrick Henry should be in this conversation for most valuable player moving forward if this team keeps doing it. And they're next up against the Pittsburgh Steelers, who put the bang thing on the Cleveland Browns. Another crucial contest that happened yesterday. The Chicago Bears are in first place in the NFC North as we are conversing right here, right now. And Nick Foles had quite a remarkable post-game press Zoom soliloquy that I want to play for you at the end of this hour. John Smoltz will join us at the top of hour number two. George Kittle and Ryan Tannehill, two bona fide stars of the Week 6 gridiron. And by the way, Week 6 wraps up tonight with two huge double dips.
Huge games tonight.
Two huge games and a double dip. Bills and Chiefs, Cowboys, Cardinals. We'll discuss all that with my buddy DP, Dan Patrick, when we come back on NBC Sports on Peacock, right here on The Rich Eisen Show. You know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to GEICO. It's almost as scary as that homemade elf costume your mom made you wear in junior high school. No, GEICO can't erase the memory of tripping down the hallway in oversized pointy shoes, but they could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Stop waking up at night in a cold sweat, people, wondering what happened to that green onesie. Just switch to GEICO and save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Radio audience will return in a moment. And one other thing I forgot to mention about my Titans soliloquy is Mike Vrabel is trending on Twitter right now. And the reason why is it appears that for the second time in 3 years, he purposefully sent a 12th man on the field to, yes, cost his team 5 yards in a too many men on the field penalty. But it was in a down and distance that the odds of his opponent on offense picking up the first down was astronomical to pick it up. And he did it, however, to save a timeout, stop the clock, only costs 5 yards, saves 40 seconds of play clock for his offense. And they both times won the game, including yesterday with a touchdown with 4 seconds to go to force overtime. That's why Vrabel's trending right
now.
We're back here now on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. We appreciate it. You can listen to us every single day on Sirius XM Channel 211 and see us every single day on the Peacock streamer, NBC Sports on Peacock Channel. And each time, I am thrilled to say, we follow this man's fantastic television and radio simulcast, without which we would not be here sitting in this studio on the campus of AT&T as we still are. He is my longtime friend, colleague, and compadre. Once again, back to back. With the Rich Eisen Show, the host of the Dan Patrick Show, DP, Dan Patrick. How are you, DP?
I'm great. I'm great, Rich. Thank you for the introduction.
Please. That's the only way I know how to do it. I only know one speed, DP. You know what I mean?
Well, thank you.
Oh, you bet. How's life? Everything good up there in Connecticut? Everything fine and dandy?
Yeah. We're trying to stay non-essential, and we're doing a pretty good job.
Oh, my gosh. So who's the best team in the NFL right now, DP? If you had to choose one, anoint them, if you will, you would choose which one?
I'm gonna go with Baltimore right now. I still think offensively, defensively, they might be the most balanced team. But, it's so fluid. It's day-to-day. It feels like hour to hour when you're watching on Sunday or Monday, but I would probably do Baltimore. But it feels like there's, and I was wondering about this, how many teams do you think legitimately could win the Super Bowl this year? Not, boy, they got, like the Bears. They're not going to win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
So if you said,
spoiler alert.
No, I guess,
no,
yeah.
No, not. You know that.
No, I know. I mean, you don't believe in the Saint Nick run here, huh? You don't think there's a magic carpet ride in Chicago.
Well, I think they're a playoff team.
Yes.
I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl. But it's weird. If I say Tampa is one of those teams that can win the Super Bowl, then the Bears can win the Super Bowl because they beat Tampa,
right,
if you're using that logic. But I was trying to think. You got trust in the Rams or the Niners right now?
To go on a run, you know what? I guess I'm picking up what you're putting down right here. But if either one of them gets in, if you will, the dance, don't you think either one of them could go on a run to win it, Dan?
I don't know if they're that. I think they have moments where they can be great. I don't know if they can be consistent. And in the playoffs, you're going to have to win. Usually, one ugly game. You're going to have to win. Probably a game on the road, and are they capable of doing that? Somebody's going to win the East. If the Cowboys, with all those weapons, if the defense gets healthy and Andy Dalton plays like Andy Dalton did in Cincinnati, are the Cowboys capable of going to the Super Bowl, as crazy as that may sound? Seattle obviously can go to the Super Bowl. New Orleans, are you all in on Tampa Bay? So that's just the NFC where you go, okay, I got a pretty good handle. I don't know what's happening with Green Bay now, because prior to yesterday, Green Bay would have been in the conversation. Now, are they still in the conversation? But it's referendum Monday, so that's why there's always this overreaction one way or another.
Well, I guess with you saying what you've just said, DP, I jotted down 8 teams that I think could, as we're sitting here right now through 6 weeks, win a Super Bowl. And I put down Tampa, Seattle, Tennessee, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, Green Bay, Baltimore, and Buffalo I'm going to include Buffalo in that mix. And then I guess in your second tier that you're making me sort of get a little hitch in my giddy up, I've put San Francisco, Rams, Dallas, Chicago, New Orleans with, I guess, the outside shots going to Arizona just in case they get in and just catch fire. And then that may be about it for me. New England, maybe, if they can catch fire and show something that came out of nowhere yesterday that could be avoided. You know?
When did we start with this? I need to have a declarative statement on Monday morning. And I'm not just talking about the media, but can you remember when it started that it felt like I got to tell you what I think is really happening? You know, like, oh, I knew it, Green Bay, you know, they're not going to be content. Aaron Rodgers, yeah, well, you know, now he's not an MVP. When did we start doing this where we had this referendum where we had to give you a declarative statement of, I know exactly how good the Steelers are today. I know exactly how good the Browns are today. When in reality, I always say, I got to wait until probably 7 or 8 games in. I like to wait till the end of October. Then I get a true scent. Now, we don't get that luxury because people want our opinions now. But I don't remember doing this when I was younger. I don't even remember doing it when I was at ESPN where I go, yep, I got that figured out. I got to have an opinion. Like, we're handing out the MVP in September. I never remember doing that either.
So I guess maybe when there was a split screen and a topic bar at the bottom of the screen and television shows like that started coming out, you know, where there's two people and
maybe.
I take the one side of the argument. You take the other side of the argument. And we just start yelling at each other. Could have that. Could be one of those moments.
But do you think this is, pardon the interruption?
No.
Do you think it started with Mike and Tony?
No, I don't. They're always the exception to that rule, I think, personally. Because there was, you know, the 5 good minutes, there's always, that's a different, I don't know. I always think that that's the outlier. Dan, don't you?
Well, I don't think that there's an agenda when they start their show. Yeah. Some of the other shows have an agenda when they start. But I don't think Michael and Tony are doing something to kind of, you know, titillate and let's go with, you know, polar opposites. And I'm always amazed they have two guys who are together all the time, but they never agree on anything with some of these shows. Like, you're going, and here's the topic. The sun is out today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm going to get a burn, and I don't have sunblock on, and I got to wear sunglasses, whereas the other person says, oh, this is great to go out and feel the sunshine. No matter what comes up, it feels like they're always going to disagree.
Dan, I think that's outrageous. It's outrageous. Hold on a second.
I couldn't go to work every day.
Here's my favorite word. Here's the word. Disgrace. That's the one. That's the next level. That's a disgrace, Dan. What you just said, it's a total disgrace.
Oh. Mm.
Right?
Yeah. I'm glad that we didn't have this when I was at the mothership. You know, we didn't have this combative back and forth where you had people who had to have, you know, you got to have your side, and then you kind of get armed with stats to be able to fend off the other guy. And while it can be entertaining, it would be tiring every day to go, okay, who don't I like today? Or who do I like today? And somebody's doing research for me.
Dan Patrick here on the Rich Eisen Show. I didn't think we'd go in this direction, but I love this conversation, quite honestly. To be honest with you, Dan, towards the end of my tenure at SportsCenter, SportsCenter became less a show about what happened and more about arguing about why it happened. And that's why shows like Van Pelt are the total outlier and are so popular. And that's why I think highlight shows are too damn extinct right now. Dan, what do you think about that?
Well, how would you program then highlight shows now?
Just show the highlights and have fun with it. Just like they were when, you know, I was watching you and KO before I joined in 96 and what I did with Stewart to 2003 what we see, the fastest 3 minutes of the Schwamm doing it still at halftime tonight, which I get a kick out of. I don't know if maybe I'm on the back end, of on the back nine. I don't know. But I just still think people just still want to sit back and enjoy and watch what happened, you know?
But then why don't these executives do that? Right? Why don't they say, is this working or not working? And then what do you – you know, what makes Skip and Shannon and Stephen A. and Max, like they stand out. Not everybody can do that, should do that. The same with Pardon the Interruption. Not everybody can or should do that. That's where I think you counter-program. Don't try to be like that. That, you know, there's. It feels like that formula still works at ESPN. If you have knowledgeable people doing the highlights with enthusiasm,
right.
You have an analyst who comes in, and you don't yell at people. You just talk to people and have fun with it. That would probably be my approach to it. You know, the only... I guess not a negative, but we know the outcome. Chances are we've seen the highlights when we watch these shows. Whereas before, when we were in the mid-90s, you were tuning in because you didn't know how a game ended. It was a great luxury for us to have. I just think you have to realize your audience probably knows what's going on, therefore treat it as that. Now, how do you spin this forward and I guess give your audience something that's entertaining, but in a different way than let's just yell at one another.
Dan Patrick here on the Rich Eisen Show. I'm pleased again that this show follows Dan's show every single day on NBC Sports on Peacock, as well as Sirius Channel, Sirius XM Channel 211. So I didn't even think we'd get off of that on that because I asked you who the best team is in the NFL through almost 6 weeks right here. I guess do we turn to the World Series? What is your sense of how popular baseball is, Dan, and what you see every day with phone lines lighting up and whatever metrics you may have about Dodgers, Rays, and things like that, DP?
Well, I think the Dodgers, since we're on the flagship station for the Dodgers in Los Angeles,
yes,
doing Morning Drive, and it's important, you know, it's a Dodger town too. I know we talk about the Lakers, but, you know, it's a big deal for the Dodgers, and this is a World Series or bust. So I have to pay respects to it. I picked the Rays and the Dodgers to meet in the World Series. So I'm watched a lot, and I bought into the depth of the pitching staff, certainly with Tampa, and I've enjoyed it. I know we get caught up in ratings. Is anybody watching this? I want to talk about things that I enjoy watching or talking about. I don't feel like I have to check a box and go, did I mention Dak Prescott's contract today? Oh, I got to bring that up today. You know, or, hey, what about LeBron? I don't know. Let's bring up something about LeBron. If the story's there and it's entertaining, then I bring it up. If not, I don't try to, you know, do something out of the ordinary or go out of my way to, you know, just check the box there. But I've enjoyed it. I'll watch the World Series, and I never worried about ratings, ever. I never cared about ratings. Even when I was doing a show or radio show or TV, I just watch, I just do it. Because one day somebody taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, Patrick, come here, bring your playbook. and that'll be it. But until then, I just enjoy it. I mean, this is why I got into it, is because I enjoy watching something. I'll watch football tonight, both of those games. I watched the Jets against the Dolphins yesterday.
Uh-huh.
I watched, you know, Clemson against Georgia Tech, Syracuse against Liberty. Like, this is what I get paid to do this. And if there's a story that's there, we get to share it with our audience, then great. Or get a guest on that you share with your audience. That's what's fun. I mean, it's reciprocated. They listen, they trust, they let you in your home or their home, their car. And you're doing the same thing. So I just say, let's share in it. Trust me when I say we're going to talk about this. We're going to have a guest on that you may not know. Then it's fun, or a topic. And what is our approach to that topic that makes it different than somebody else? Those are the challenges we have every day. But those are great challenges to have.
No doubt about it, DP. So that one time where SportsCenter created a commercial where I was told to get my playbook and wound up at James K. Polk High School, that wasn't real, Dan? Is that what you're saying? Because, as you know, I was very upset about
No, that was real.
You know?
No, that was real.
Because I wound up on a SportsCenter commercial talking about James K. Polk's spirit. I told that story the other day on my Twitter feed, and it just lit up about you pulling me aside when I got that assignment, and I was upset about it. I didn't want to do the commercial.
Yeah.
And you basically sat me down and told me to suck it up, that they were going to me for my comedic talents, not by sending me down to the minors, Dan. I remember that day. Do you?
Yeah, and I understood what you were saying because the audience, you think, is under the impression that, hey, I'm not good enough to stay up here.
Right, yeah.
But it became funny because you were obviously good enough. It's just we had to send somebody down. And then you know, they wanted you to buy beer for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it just worked because of your delivery. And I said, if you didn't do that commercial,
right?
I mean, that's one of the iconic commercials that we ever did for SportsCenter. In my opinion, that's one of the top 10 to 15 commercials that we ever did because of what it was and what it stood for. And it still holds up now, even when you watch it. You can't help but laugh.
Well, because people are, you know, still trying to get beer bought for them by somebody older, I guess. What was your favorite? What was your favorite that you were in that you did? Which one was that? Was that Grant Hill and the piano? And when he was playing the piano in the lobby and you kind of tipped him and walked out? I mean, what's yours, DP?
No, it was when Oberman and I were putting on our makeup in the bathroom.
Because that was real. That was real. That was real. That's like a real moment because there was no makeup artists provided to on-air SportsCenter anchors at the time. I remember that.
Yeah, they're making a couple of $100 million each year, but they couldn't afford a makeup artist for us. And we had to go in. We had no professional training. And we put our makeup on the way Joaquin Phoenix did in The Joker. We had no clue what... We had no idea what we were looking like, but it was okay. I borrowed makeup from my wife, and then so we're in there putting makeup on, and we're talking about tough guys in hockey. So just the whole juxtaposition of we're putting on makeup while we're talking about tough guys in hockey, and that was the sensibility that Wyden and Kennedy had. Like they truly had a magical touch with that. There's so many great commercials, but that's probably my favorite just because it was true that we put our makeup on every night, and that's usually the first time Keith and I would kind of talk about the day, and then we'd, you know, 15 minutes later, we were on the air on SportsCenter.
There was one I saw the other day that I honestly forgot I was in. I'll be honest with you, Dan. And I guess it was the one where Joe Montana's ring got lost in the soup that was served to us in the cafeteria. And I think we, like, Stuart, you and I were in it. I think Van Pelt as well, where we found that ring. Have you seen an ad where you forgot you were in it? Has that ever happened to you too?
That one did, and it's in my bowl of soup I find Montana's ring. Yeah, he's lost one of his Super Bowl rings.
Right,
and
I remember that.
So I'm watching it, and it was Montana posted that, and
that's right.
Somebody said, "Hey, Montana posted this video," and I go. And, like, I don't know what it's about. And then I realize it was the commercial that I'm in where I find his Super Bowl in my soup. And then at the end, you know, Stewart takes it out of the soup when it's all said and done. But I forgot. We did so many of those because people didn't realize we would go into work and we still had to do SportsCenter that night. And you go in at 8 or 9 in the morning, shoot 2, maybe 3 of those commercials, and then you would start your normal day. And, you know, we didn't get paid anything. You didn't get days off to do these things. It was like whoever was there at SportsCenter, they kind of said, oh, hey, do you want to be in this commercial? Like when the professional wrestlers came in, I forgot, you know, they're like, hey, the wrestlers are here. And I go, oh, okay. And then I don't even know I'm in the commercial. And they go, yeah, they're going to – like have you up against the wall in you know one of the stairwells, and I go, okay. So I got the Undertaker or Triple H with his forearm up against my throat, and then I get done with that, and then I have to go write SportsCenter. Like that was just a normal day there, and you know you forget about how many we did.
It's amazing, D. DP, I appreciate the call. I appreciate everything, as you know. So just to recap, we just went down memory lane. We both feel very lucky to have the shows that we have. And you think the best team in the NFL through 6 weeks is Baltimore, which is an outrage and a disgrace. Correct? Did I get that all correct? Did I get that all right?
Yeah. Yes. Yep.
Okay.
You did your job.
Thank
Tell
you.
The boys I said hello there, Rich.
DP, be good, buddy.
Again. DP, be good.
Same to you.
Yep.
Same to you. That's Dan Patrick, the host of the Dan Patrick Show. Every day here. NBC Sports on Peacock. What an absolute disgrace. Not Peacock, NBC Sports on Peacock. I mean, Dan's opinion. And we go back and forth. I just remember all those days, man, with those Sports Center commercials. He's right. You'd get in. And you'd have to get in really early because you were doing SportsCenter that night. And I just remember, I don't know why, I just remember Dan's office. It's a smaller, you know, small office that you, the door would be, you walk in the door and then it was just, you know, longer than it was wider. And he was sitting at his desk and he always had a Dick Trickle racing jacket on the back of his chair. And I would sit at one end of his desk and we would just talk about a whole bunch of stuff. Including, you know, hey, Dan, I just got the SportsCenter script and they're sending me down to the minors. You know, actually, I'd like to be in Keith Olbermann's chair next to you. Because that was a big to-do when Keith left and who was going to be sitting next to Dan.
Right.
Kenny got that seat. And instead of me getting that seat, I'm getting sent down to the minors in a script. And I'm kind of like, what the hell gives? He reads the script and he goes, why don't you want to do it? I'm like, I don't like the impression that it gives. And he basically told me to get over it. I remember that. But I remember... You know, I guess for a couple of weeks ago, Montana put out that.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
I don't remember
that one either.
Dan, Stewart, SVP, and I having lunch, and Montana's the chef in the back, and he's like searching for his Super Bowl ring. He can't find it. Cut to us, Dan having a bowl of soup, and the Super Bowl ring's in there.
That's funny.
And I think Stewart takes it off and puts it on his hand. And I totally forgotten being in that spot.
There were so many great commercials. So many great commercials back then.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your phone calls. Okay. The reason why Nick Foles is the quarterback in Chicago isn't just because of how he is performing in that offense. And what happened with the Miami Dolphins after the game yesterday is just as important as what happened during it. That's coming up next. Old Spice now has Below Deck, a new line of products for your, well, below deck area. New Below Deck Powder Spray helps you feel drier and cleaner down below. New Below Deck Anti-Chafe Stick helps prevent inner thigh chafing. Nobody wants that. Available in the family planning aisle at Walmart or online at walmart.com/Old Spice Below Deck. We're back here on Peacock. A lot of fun with DP.
That was great.
Yeah.
We could talk like that for days. Days.
Sports news days.
I was going to ask him more about the NFL season. You know, who's your MVP? What do you got? What'd you think? But he needs more time. He wants to be more nuanced. How dare he?
Come on.
He knows how this works.
It's always cool to see you guys chop it up together, man, just because of your unique history and, you know, the chemistry that you have. It's always really cool.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't even talk about how Dan got behind the bar at Susie and my wedding. Because the bartender wasn't serving the Jägermeister shots fast enough. About that.
Turned into Tom Cruise from Cocktail at your wedding?
I don't know. We were still taking photographs. All I know is that we're done with the photograph portion. It's just like, hey, you missed Dan behind the bar. Your own wedding. I'm like, damn it.
Say what?
You know. We go way back. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on the radio network as well. So Dan is Chicago's not going to win the Super Bowl. Sorry, Bears fans, you're 5-1. I understand why he's saying that when you look at the offenses around the NFL and how dynamic they are and how many points that they're putting up, and that, yes, they've got a very good defense, but still, when it comes down to it, when you're in the playoffs, you're probably going to face a defense that's somewhere in the neighborhood as good as yours, and you're going to have to put some points up. You're going to have to score at least 20-something to win. So I think Nick Foles knows that. I think Nick Foles is hearing that. And I don't need to suppose that. All I need to do is hear how Nick Foles is talking after the game yesterday, in which the Carolina Panthers had a shot to tie the game because the Bears could not consistently put points on the board. Carolina was in this thing, really shouldn't have been, but Chicago never put the pedal to the metal to say in the same way Tampa did yesterday. Never just took the game over and just threw another 21 unanswered on top of the fire like Tampa did yesterday against Green Bay. And this is Carolina minus Christian McCaffrey. And it's amazing how, hey, look at how this team's performing. Like Christian McCaffrey, 3-0. Now you have trouble beating that team. And it's just like they don't even have Christian McCaffrey. So I guess that's Dan's point, that you could use whatever argument you wish to poke holes in whatever theory you don't like. But this is why, in my mind, Nick Foles is the quarterback and not Mitchell Trubisky. This is what Nick Foles had to say after the Bears improved to 5-1.
Well, I first say, would you rather lose pretty or win ugly? I think that we'd rather win ugly. Now, we're not going to get complacent and say, hey, man, we're 5-1. This is it. No, like we're sitting there in the locker room after the game talking through it. Hey, we got to be better here. This is what we got to do here. Communication here, route running here. Hey, we got to be able to run the ball here. We know that. I know y'all are going to ask those questions. We know that. And that's what's exciting, because we don't have to have y'all say, hey, you doing this? Hey, we know. But we also know that we're going to improve because we believe in one another. And that's what great teams do. Great teams find a way to win a game. Bad teams win with prettiness. Great teams win no matter how it takes. So I'm proud of our guys. I think we're continuing to improve. Are we where we want to be? No, we're not where we want to be. But I'm excited about our offense. I'm excited about the guys that are there. I like the communication that's happening on the sideline. I love the passion of the players. Most important, they care. And we're bonding. We're getting to know each other. That's football. Like, you don't just go out there and play football. You got to care about the man next to you to make those plays. So I like where we're at. I know we're going to improve. I believe in our staff. I believe in our players. And I'm really grateful to be a part of this organization.
So two things. One, somebody's typing very loudly.
Yes.
Okay, that's number one. Someone's got a very heavy typing hand. Number two, I know this may sound unfair, may come across as unfair. That's my caveat.
Okay.
But Christopher.
Yes.
Had Mitchell Trubisky struggled to beat in Carolina and gotten the Bears to 5-1, right, and given that speech, that soliloquy afterwards, how would that have landed?
Wouldn't have landed.
Well, I think your first instinct of says it all. Yeah. Okay, Mitch. Like, how about you score more?
Yeah.
How about you actually put the points on the board that you were drafted second overall to
second
do?
Pick. Like, come on.
Right?
Let's go.
How about Mahomes and Watson wouldn't have the problems that you're having?
Right.
That would be literally the conversation.
Yeah, I think so.
Foles says it, and it's just like, man, I am going to go hit that brick wall and bust it down for that guy, because he does have the experience of winning it all. He is the guy that you look at and you can't say, what do you know? You can't look at that guy and say, yeah, you know, go sell that somewhere else. Because he's done it. He's done it. You know, they may not win at all, but you can't say it, because you just never know. He is the current occupier of the you just never know office in the NFL, previously occupied by Kurt Warner, for instance. Now, I know he's not going to the Hall of Fame like Kurt, but you want to talk about magic carpet rides. Tom Brady used to occupy that office until he started doing it over and over and over again. You just never know. So when Nick says that, it resonates. Another quarterback that I think will have people running through brick walls for him. You're seeing right now Ryan Fitzpatrick's got the Dolphins doing that for him. And kudos to Brian Flores, because I don't know why he chose yesterday to put Tua in a football game that's already been decided. He had last week to do that. I know he was kind of, what, ill, or he was coming off of an illness or something.
Yeah.
And that they might have had a plan. At some point, we'll get Tua in the game. Maybe want to do it in front of the home fans to give them something to be excited about. Part of me thinks, and again, this may just be about me, but the Jets used to be the main rival of the Miami Dolphins. And to go out there and say to this team that's 0-6 with no hope and no future and no nothing going on for it, hey, how about this bright, shiny toy that we're able to unwrap to let you know that we've got this in our back pocket for our next generation while we're still winning football games like 24-0 against you with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Here's Tua. Here he is. First things first that I saw about Tua is I thought, oh my God, he's about to get sacked because he's in his own end zone and he's rolling to his left. And then I forgot he's left-handed. Honestly, it's been that long since I've watched him play. I literally thought, oh God, he's going to get sacked. Oh, that's right. He's running in the proper direction. He's running with the grain here. And then he uncorked a beautiful pass. And he went, as our boy Birch at NFL Network tweeted out, I retweeted it, he went Tua for Tua.
Well done, Birch.
Okay.
Well done,
his two man. Attempts, he connected on both. And then he showed you why he is who he is and the stuff that he has within him. And the sensibility and the wherewithal and the living in the moment that not enough of us have, me included, in our lives to just soak it in. But he went out on the field in full uniform after the game, and he sat on the yard line at which his final drive ended, and he FaceTimed his parents. Come on. Because, again, when he's having hip surgery, we could all sit here and say, oh, he's a top-notch doctor that Alabama got it, and he says that he's going to be just fine. Well, easy for us to say.
Yeah.
He's the one who put in the hard work. He's the one who had a dream potentially exploded by Mississippi State defenders, and he's the one that came back and was able to get in an NFL game. And that's a photograph of him sitting on a 15-yard line, FaceTiming his parents in his uniform.
Pretty awesome.
And I see that. I'm a teammate. I'm like, okay, we'll do this for you. We know what it means to you. If it means that much to you, it means that much to me. And if it means that much to you, we know you know it means that much to us, too. Good for you, Tua.
Very cool.
It really was really sweet and neat and awesome. And it gives me a good feeling that is so lost in our daily society. We just get lost in doom scrolling, as I heard it's called on Twitter, where you just keep on scrolling around looking. It's just so great to see. Good for you, Tua. Best of luck moving forward. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Your phone calls, John Smoltz and George Kittle, hour number two. Ryan Tannehill, hour three.
Welcome to the MRP.
Yeah!
Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
Let me start this thing off. Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.